The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler for the North Carolina Reading Service, and welcome to Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the National Garden Bureau e-newsletter, Bird and Blooms magazine, NC Extension e-newsletter, and the Triangle Gardener magazine. And maybe from 1001 Hints and Tips for Your Garden by Reader's Digest. And from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. We'll start with the North Carolina State Extension e-newsletter. Carolina Backyard Naturalist. Botany. Carolina Backyard Naturalist. September 1620. Botany. Plant systematics, anatomy, and physiology. This class addresses the fundamentals of botany, helpful for understanding the roles plants play in ecosystems that will be explored in subsequent lectures. Topics include the taxonomy and evolutionary relationships among different plant groups, structures and functions of plant organs, plant reproduction, and the processes of photosynthesis and transpiration. The presenter is Matt Jones. Matt has been a horticulture extension agent with the Cooperative Extension Service since 2015 and has been in Chatham County since 2018. His extension outreach program targets home gardeners, ornamental nurseries, and landscape professionals, and he is the coordinator for the Extension Master Gardener Program of Chatham County. Pat was an Erasmus Mundus Fellow and earned his MSc in Horticultural Science jointly from universities in Italy, Germany, and Austria. He also has a MS in Botany and undergraduate degrees in Botany and Microbiology from the University of Oklahoma. Wildflowers and plant communities of the Southern Appalachian Mountains and Piedmont. A Naturalist's Guide to the Carolinas, Virginia, Tennessee, and Georgia. This richly illustrated field guide serves as an introduction to the wildflowers and plant communities of the Southern Appalachians and the rolling hills of the adjoining Piedmont. Rather than organizing plants, including trees, shrubs, and herbaceous plants by flower, color, or family characteristics, as is done in most guidebooks, botanist Tim Spira takes a holistic ecological approach that enables the reader to identify and learn about plants in their natural communities. This approach, says Spira, better reflects the natural world as plants, like other organisms, don't live in isolation. They coexist and interact in myriad ways. The Natural Gardens of North Carolina by B.W. Wells. For 70 years, the Natural Gardens of North Carolina has been a must-read volume for anyone interested in wildflowers, native plants, ecology, or conservation in the state. This handsome revised edition features new line drawings and color photographs, an appendix that updates the botanical nomenclature, an introduction that focuses on B.W. Wells and his passion for the state's landscape, and an afterword that discusses the continuing relevance of Wells' ideas. One of the first scientists to write and lecture about ecology, Wells introduced North Carolinians to the extraordinary tapestry of natural gardens or plant communities within the state's borders back in 1932. His purpose was to help readers understand a plant within its community, a pioneering concept at the time, and to promote conservation. Moving from the Atlantic coast westward, Wells identifies 11 major natural gardens: the sand dune community, salt marsh, freshwater marsh, swamp forest, aquatic vegetation, evergreen shrub bog or Pocosin, grass sedge bog or savanna, sand hill, old hill community, upland forest, and high mountain spruce fir forest. He devotes the first part of his book to a general account of the vegetation and habitats of each community, and then identifies and describes the wildflowers found there. And now from Dave's Garden e-newsletter. Preserving Herbs with 7 Ways to Give Them New Life by Dawn Hammond. Don't just stir your herbs once you pick them. Transform them by giving them second lives as balms, oils, and drinks. One of many blessings your yard and garden can provide is a fresh selection of herbs available through the summer season. But as the weather changes, herbs follow the pattern of many other plants by either dying off for the year or moving into a dormant state, depending on whether they are annuals or perennials. But there's no need to let all those beautiful herbs go to the waste. Instead, consider the many ways they can continue to serve you after the long hot days of summer have transformed into cool evenings and brisk mornings. Freezing herbs is easy and allows you to use them during the harsh winter months when fresh herbs become difficult to find and expensive to purchase. There are several ways to freeze herbs with different end uses in mind. The basic procedure is to simply lay herbs out on a shirt and place the entire sheet into the freezer. Once frozen, move the herbs to a plastic freezer bag, freezer container, or glass jar with a tight-fitting lid. Another option is to mix the herbs with oil at a ratio of 1/3 cup oil per 2 cups of herbs. Then pack the mixture into ice trays and freeze. Once frozen, move the cubes to another storage container. These herb cubes are great for pastas and soups during the winter. Still another option is to create cocktail ice cubes, such as lemonade and mint leaves, or pureed strawberry and basil leaves. These add a nice flavor to drinks during the off season. Drying herbs is an age-old practice, and for good reason, since it allows you to keep the quality flavors of the herbs for long-term use. Hang your herbs in loose bundles for several days to a few weeks. The one thing to really watch is that your herbs are completely dry. If they aren't, they will mold. Once dry, crumble the leaves and store in herb jars. This works well for most common herbs, including parsley, mint, cilantro, marjoram, oregano, and etc. Sachets. Homemakers have used herb sachets for hundreds of years. They are great for keeping the musty funk out of drawers and also drive away insects and rodents. To make them, create squares out of fabric or purchase ready-made mesh bags. Stuff your sachet with your favorite dried herbs and close up the opening. You can also tie the end with a rope, ribbon, or cord instead of stitching it shut. If you have a favorite essential oil, you can add it to the mix as well. Tea. There is no need to purchase loose leaf tea when you have a garden full of herbs waiting to steep up to the mask. To create your own, dry your herbs and then play around with combinations that you love. Dried herbs can be used for iced tea or hot tea. Common choices include mint, chamomile, dandelion leaves, rose petals, and hibiscus. But there are truly are endless options. Vinegar. Vinegar is another easily infused ingredient that can give an extra boost of flavor to dressing, sauces, and marinades. The process is the same as it is for oils, with the obvious exception of filling the jar with vinegar rather than oil. You can store your homemade herb-infused vinegar in the refrigerator for up to 6 months, but honestly, it's doubtful that it will be around that long. Oils. Herb-infused oils add a wonderful flavor to everything from meat to vegetables to bread. You can also use the oils in lotions, soaps, and lip balm for a therapeutic effect and lovely scent. Massage oils are an option, too. Anything that you use oil for is better when it is herb-infused. To create your own herb-infused oils, choose a jar with a tight-fitting lid. Make sure it is clean and completely dry. Stuff your herbs into the jar and then fill it with your choice of oil. Allow the mixture to steep in a cool, dark place for a couple of weeks, checking it every few days. Once it has the flavor you are looking for, strain the mixture through a cheesecloth. Label your oil and store for up to 1 year. Alcohol. Using the same technique as the oils and vinegars, you can infuse your favorite alcohol, too. Love a lemon drop? Make your own lavender vodka by leaving your lavender to soak. Add some lemon rind to bump up the flavor, too. Play with combinations of herbs and fruits that appeal to your palate. Check the flavor of your mixtures often and strain out the herbs and fruits when it reaches the peak taste. Herbs are lovely to enjoy in their fresh form during the growing months, but just because they begin to take a winter's nap does not mean you should stop enjoying your harvest. By drying, freezing, and incorporating your herbs into household foods and other goods, you'll get the most life out of your plants. And now, from birds, birds and blooms, Midnight Blooms by Deb Wally. Dark and Handsome Hellebore. Part of the Wedding Party series, Dark and Handsome steals your heart with black-purple good looks. Hellebores thrived in part to full shade. After the blooms flayed, attractive leathery green foliage remains. Why we love it. This sturdy chap stands its ground when facing ravaging deers and rabbits, and quickly naturalizes in woodland gardens. And now, chocolate cosmos, cosmos atrosanquilines, zones 9 to 11, or annual. Chocolate cosmos sprout from tender tubers that can be grown as annuals or brought inside for winter in cold climates. They ultimately reach up to 30 inches tall, growing best in a sunny garden patch. They shine from midsummer into fall and are easy to care for. While we love it, this cosmos is an absolutely luscious, calorie-free form of chocolate. The smell of the blooms even brings to mind red velvet cake. And now, Black Barlow Columbine, Aquilegia vulgaris, Black Barlow, zones 3 to 9. This deep maroon, almost black, double-petaled columbine adds drama to a late spring garden. Grow this 24 to 30-inch perennial in sun or part shade. It's short-lived, but it self-sows like a champ. Not quite as dark as night. In Darcher, there are no true black flowers, but these stunmers come about as close as you can get, with shades ranging from the deepest violet to the darkest burgundy. You're sure to add loads of drama to your landscape. Black Night Hollyhock. Black Night Hollyhock scores with deep purple-black blooms even in its first year. If planted in full sun, this 5 to 6 foot tall butterfly and hummingbird magnet will readily self-sow. While we love it, it's truly a perennial, not a biennial like most hollyhocks. It also grows within reach of troublesome black walnut tree roots and resists rust. And now, Black Iris. It is hard to find a true black flower, but this iris is very close. Grow it in sun to part shade among perennials with rounded leaves so its spiky plumes peek out of the mounds. Irises attract butterflies and hummingbirds, and they make lovely, velvety, dark-cut flowers. While we love it, blooms are elegantly held aloft, slender 18 to 20-inch green stalks. And now another flower. Halloween Improved Pansy, Viola X, Whitrockiana, Halloween Improved, zones 6 to 8. This black pansy is all treat, no trick, a step up from a pansy named Halloween 2. Halloween Improved has fewer white stripes and more blooms than its predecessor. Plant this cool season favorite in spring or fall while we love it. It's spookily pretty and very festive when paired with orange pansies. And now another one is Parisian Lily. Parisian lilies provide architectural intensity to a spring garden with 20 to 30 dark plum bell-shaped blooms lining up in alternating rows on slender stalks. While we love it, through around since 1573, this perennial is still not widely planted. The blue-gray, deer-resistant foliage alone makes it worth a shot. And Black Satin Dahlia. Growing 4 to 6 feet tall, this formal decorative dahlia produces large pom-pom flowers. The chocolatey poofs are edged with a deep burgundy flare. While we love it, one of the biggest perks is that the more flowers you cut, the more flowers you will get. Snip the long stems to pair with brightly colored blooms, creating an uplifting accent. And now from the Triangle Gardener magazine. Camellia Forest Tea Gardens will celebrate the book release of Grow Your Own Tea by the garden's author, Christine Parks, on September 19th through the 20th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy a physically distanced tour of the tea garden and greenhouses. Sip tea and pick up a signed copy of the book. Fee charged. You must pre-register at camforest.com. Ready for a day trip? The Paul J. Senior Botanical Garden in Kernersville and the Cape Fear Botanical Garden in Fayetteville have reopened their gardens and are offering person classes. And Sarah P. Duke Gardens, a new online series on the Piedmont Naturalist, will be offered in fall. Some of their programs are like Walk on the Wild Side, Fall Ornamental Containers, and Seasonal Celebrities are offered on Zoom. In a fall open house, a third annual Pine Knot Farms fall open house. We'll have a wide variety of hellebores available during the event. Your safety and well-being is important to us as we continue to monitor the latest guidelines on COVID-19. Check our website or social media for updates. October 2nd and 3rd, 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. It's just over the NC state line in Clarksville, Virginia. And a Campbell Road Nursery. All Campbell Road grown plants. It's at 2804 Campbell Road in Raleigh. And native plants. Perennials, shrubs, grasses, trees, vines, ferns, and bog plants at Native Plants Cure Nursery. By appointment, they're at 880 Bates Bridge, Pittsboro, North Carolina. The phone number, 919-542-6186, 919-542-6186. And the J.C. Ralston Arboretum. The JCRA is holding virtual classes, including midweek with Mark, garden story times for children, friends of the Arboretum lecture, plantsman's tours, and the Gardening in the South Fall Symposium. Other online classes include digital photography workshops, Bryce Lane's home plant propagation, and Bree Arthur's program on the fall vegetable garden. And now from 1001 Hints and Tips for Your Garden by Reader's Digest. Here's some information on Mog bog gardens. Pick a spot with naturally poor drainage for your bog garden, even if it doesn't stay wet all year. If it starts to dry out in the summer, provide extra water. Here you can grow any plants that thrive in scent soil. If no wet area exists, create one. Dig out a spot 2 feet deep and line it with heavy plastic or a children's wading pool, pierced in a few places to allow slow drainage. Replace the soil, adding some peat moss. For a tiny bog garden, bury a small plastic container with one or two drainage holes added. Hide the container's edges carefully so that they don't give away your secret. Choose plants that grow naturally around ponds or lakes. Choices include marsh marigolds, water irises, flowering rush, and even some carnivorous plants. Plant ferns, exotic-looking ostrich ferns, and royal ferns are among the feathery plants that adapt nicely to bog gardens. Try trim roses, too. Many types thrive in damp soil. After the flowers have gone to seed, flood the orier so that all the seeds are moved about. When they germinate next season, your primroses will be masked with an unplanned natural effect. Stay dry. Install stepping stones or a wooden bridge so that you can enjoy your bog garden and tend the plants growing there without getting your feet wet. Dramatic and tall. If there's room, plant large, bald-leaved plants like the bog-loving Legleria dentata Desdemona with towering stalks of orange-yellow flowers. Too vigorous for gardens. Avoid planting cattails and wetland grass. They can crowd out other plants. And a blueberry sampler. Extend the harvest in your blueberry patch by planting early, mid-season, and late varieties. Early fruiters include Earl Blue, Ivanhoe, Weymouth, and Northland, all ripening in June. Mid-season blueberries including Blue Crop, Blue Ray, Collins, and Stanley fruit from early to mid-July. For berries in late July, plant Delight, Dixie, and Meditou. We have run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden.